The truth is that there's not much more that we can do at this moment. The shops are closed. Most of our fridges are full. The food prep is done to as much as we can do it. Our presents are wrapped. Our families are all prepared for what's to come tomorrow. Tomorrow is only just a little bit in the future, but there's a little bit more time before we get there. We have this time, this really small space between now and when all the Christmas celebrations will take place. It's like we have this hiatus between all the busyness of the preparation and the festivities of the day. It's like we have a brief moment, which is now to draw breath, to rest, to think. It's like we have this slim period of time in which we can stop and think. Some of our Christian forebears called this a thin space. I like that thought. I resonate with that thought. It's when the distance between heaven and earth seem not so far away as usual, and it's close. There are some places on earth where you can feel this, some holy places where you can sense this, but for me, Christmas Eve at this service tonight is one of those times. Here we are in a thin space where heaven seems so close that you can almost touch it. It's like the newborn baby is in our presence, like the star is shining over our building. It's like God has really, truly come close. Silent night, holy night. Tonight we hear again the story of the first Christmas. Like many of you, I've heard that story over and over again. The story of two young people struggling to meet the demands of the law of the land and to cope with the birth of their first child. The story of angels announcing great news of a Saviour being born. The story of shepherds racing to see this new king. The story of the Magi travelling from distant lands to see what human had possibly inspired the movement of celestial bodies. But it's more than just a story. It's more than just a historical event that we learn about in dusty pages. It goes on. Its meaning is unfolding. It's a gift that keeps on with its perpetual giving. It comes into the now. And it resonates with us. The sheer fact that so many of us have gathered today, tonight, even in this building, gives witness to the relevance of the story. It happened so many years ago, but it still continues to provoke us in the deep places where we sense it, where we feel it, where we know it. And looking around, looking at your faces tonight, looking at the resonance between us, I know that you're being provoked as well. It's not just the candles, it's not just the music, it's not just an ambience, it's something more profound. It's something that defies logic and usurps our thought processes. It draws us into a raw place where there is a whole lot of normal everyday life that doesn't seem to matter at this moment. For tonight, the stars are bright, the air is clear. Our senses are attuned to something different. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we wonder why we've spent so much time chasing the trivial. Tonight is a holy night. It is a sacred place. Your feelings, my friends, they are right feelings. That's why we're here. That's why we've been drawn back again and again and again to hear the narrative, this incredible timeless story of God's entrance into the world, of God's love for the world, God's passion for that broken world that he made. That's why we are drawn back to see and to feel and to touch the child in the manger. There's something here, something around us, something that we all know about. But I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think about it in the quiet space, the corner of your heart, where the things that really matter are. The question that I want you to mull over as you enjoy Christmas with your families and friends. The question is this: why do we wait for this moment? Why do we wait for now? What I mean is, why do we wait for this particular time of year, this night, to sense the holy? Why don't we resonate with it at other times? What is it that's drawing us away? Ferrello LaGuardia was mayor of New York City during the Depression of the last century. He was quite a character. He would ride the city fire trucks. He'd take entire orphanages to baseball games. And whenever the city newspapers went on strike, he would get on the radio and read the Sunday funnies out to all the kids over the radio. But there's one particular story I want to relate to you tonight. It was a bitter, cold winter's night, 1935. And the mayor turned up in a night court that served the poorest ward in the city, and using the powers at his discretion, he dismissed the judge for the evening and took the bench himself. After he heard a few cases, a very obviously poor woman in tattered clothing came before him, and she was accused of stealing a loaf of bread. She told the mayor that her daughter's husband had deserted her, that her daughter was sick, her grandchildren were so hungry they were on the point of starvation. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen insisted on pressing charges. "My store," he said, "is in a very bad neighborhood, Your Honor. She's got to be punished in order to teach others a lesson. You just can't do this." The mayor sighed. He turned his eyes to the old woman and he said to her, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he spoke, he was reaching into his pocket and pulling out a $10 bill. "Here's the woman's fine," he said, "and furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that their grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." The following day, the New York Times reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old woman. It was given by red-faced store owners, petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and city policemen. They all gave their mayor a standing ovation as they handed over their money. My friends, I tell you that story because that's just like what happens when God enters our world. He takes what debt we owe and he pays for it himself. And then what's more, he gives us so much more than what we could ever dream of. You see, my friends, Christmas is far more than a story. It is way more than a story. It changes people's lives. Jesus entering into our world inspires people to do wonderful, gracious, loving things in his name. It takes people who are everyday, run-of-the-mill, ordinary, and makes them extraordinary. Yet many of us wait for this moment to engage with the sacred. We apportion out this moment, this time to engage with God, and the rest of the year we tune out. We let the busyness of life, the pressures of finances, the pressures of kids, relationship hassles, all those sorts of things, even good things, get in the way of the best thing. Here's the one thing I want to say tonight. There's only one point that I want you to hear overall. Christmas is not just a story, it is an experience to be lived. It's not a quaint narrative that we roll out once every year to make us feel all warm and bubbly and an excuse to overeat and overspend. It's a life-changing movement that can pick you up out of your existence, shake it by the tail, and turn you into something far more than you could ever imagine. My friends, I don't quite know why we wait for this once a year, for this moment, this hiatus of time, this spot in our calendar to resonate with the holy. I don't know why we push God, the creator of all things, the God who holds all things together, the God who is revealed in his Son Jesus. I don't know why we ignore him for every other day of the year. But what we can feel tonight is the echo of the Spirit, the same Spirit that was in that first nativity. It's this Spirit that comes to us in this moment and who keeps coming to us over and over again throughout the year, calling to us, leaving impressions on us, resonating with us, saying, I want to engage with you. I want to connect with you. Come, walk my way. Tonight is that wonderful time filled with mystery and awe. It's a time of waiting for the celebrations to kick in. But I wonder if for some of us tonight, I wonder if for you tonight, it could be so much more. Maybe it could be the beginning of a journey towards making sure the things that matter do and the things that don't, don't. Maybe tonight for you, for all of us, there could be the start of something new, something where we not only resonate with the Christmas narrative, but where it affects us every day. My friends, tonight is a gift. And so I offer it to you, and I encourage you. Why don't you open it? Why don't you open the gift and see what it does for the rest of the year? Lord God, we thank you for this gift of tonight. And we know that what we're feeling tonight is only the thin end of the wedge when it comes to relating with you. We know that you brought Jesus in the world to relate to us. Pull us away, God, from the things that don't matter to the things that do. Help us see you sharply. Help us see that you've made space. Help us see that you want to engage, that you want to relate, that you want to know us and you want us to be connected to you. Lord, may we have a relationship with you that is not just here, not just tonight, but goes out into every single day. In your name I pray. Amen.